The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. From Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 15, we hear these words again. As Jesus drew near the gate to the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then Jesus came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And Jesus said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, today's gospel reading is one that we should hear and take to heart as it strengthens and confirms our faith in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus did not have in mind or view this woman only on this particular occasion. He wants to teach each and every one of us to look upon death as an insignificant thing, of which you and I have absolutely no reason to be scared or afraid. Instead, you and I are called to await death and other misfortunes that come upon us in life with a believing and patient heart, because we are assured that the Lord has overcome death and the grave by what he has done for us by the cross and the tomb. So I want you to notice from today's text of how quickly the Lord delivered this woman after she had given up all help and all hope. Her only begotten son, dead. Her husband, dead. She isn't even given a name in our text. She is only described as a widow. She has no place and no one to care for her. No future and no home. All that she has is the unclean body of her only begotten son. So if you think about it, this funeral procession for her son might as well be her own funeral procession as well. So what emotions are stirring in her thoughts and mind? Fear? Uncertainty? Anger? Anxiety? Her only begotten son was her future. She is vulnerable, unsure of what is going to happen to her next, after this funeral procession meets its end outside the city gate. Now, no doubt all of us have experienced chaos and uncertainty at varying times of our life. Death, a move, grief over a job loss, a bitter divorce, or something else happens to you that has left you gasping for your breath. This chaos makes us uncertain of our life, of why we're here, where we're going to go, and how it's all going to make sense. You don't know what's going to happen next. Now, I can tell you that pastors have led many processions to the grave, and emotions differ greatly from family to family. There is numbness, fear, and great uncertainty. Because we live in a fallen world, many of you have experienced this firsthand as well. So here she is making her way to the grave. And what happens next? This procession of death meets head-on with another procession. And this procession is headed by the Lord of life, who orders all things by the word of his mouth. It looks like chaos, like a traffic nightmare that has completely gone awry. But when she hears the word of the Lord, everything changes. So picture this scene in your mind once again. Jesus draws near to the gate, where there is a procession of death that is coming. And in an instant, Jesus takes it all in. The fear, the chaos, the uncertainty, the tears, the widow, the dead son, the great crowd, as it is mentioned. He sees all of this. And then our text has one of these great gospel-rich words, compassion. Jesus has compassion on her. He sees this insanity, this fear, this uncertainty in her life, and Jesus' heart and his gut ache for her, and Jesus is moved to help her. You see, God is always moving to help. He is never satisfied to sit back and watch us from afar. He sees the chaos. He knows the insanity and the fear in our lives. He took on flesh, and he knows everything that you and I have gone through and will go through, yet without sin. And how does the author of life, the author of all creation, respond to this? He is moved. In fact, he is constantly moved to compassion for you, for me, and for all. Jesus says to the brokenhearted woman, "Do not weep." Now, at first glance, you may think this sounds like a compassionate word, but it is rather odd indeed. I mean, the last thing that you want to say to someone else when you have never experienced it yourself is, "I know exactly what you're going through." It would kind of be like if I was making a hospital call on a woman who has just had a double mastectomy for breast cancer, and the first words out of my mouth are, "I know exactly what you're going through." No, I don't. Don't weep. Can you see this woman's eyes stare a hole through Jesus? "My only son is dead, Jesus, and I might as well be dead along with him. Don't tell me not to weep. Don't tell me that you know exactly what I'm going through." But then Jesus does something even more crazy. He reaches out and he touches the funeral bier. Now, this bier was kind of like a big stretcher in which the body is held up on the shoulders by the men who are carrying it. Jesus reaches out and touches the bier, and everyone stands still. Now, for us today, maybe we don't quite get what is going on here. We might look at touching a dead thing or a dead body as kind of gross, something of which you and I would go and wash our hands soon afterward. However, in Jesus' day, to touch something dead made you unclean. It meant that you couldn't enter into the temple for 7 days. So these men who were carrying the body of this boy were actually making a great sacrifice. And yet, here comes Jesus, walking up to the funeral bier, and he touches it. Our Lord has that way about him, doesn't he? He can walk into the messiest chaos of our lives and bring peace. There is no trouble too great for him. There is no mess too messy for him. Our sin, our shame, our guilt, even death itself, Jesus comes rolling right up to it, and he is not afraid. He wasn't afraid then, and he isn't afraid now either. He comes into our lives, our messiness, everything else, the author and perfecter himself. And then Jesus says these words to the dead man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." He doesn't say, "Get up when you have enough faith." He doesn't say, "After you've cleaned up your life, get up, and we'll make a path for your best life going forward." Jesus doesn't say, "After you've put enough money into the offering plate, then I will bless you." No. Jesus' word brings what it commands. And his gracious command here is very simple. Live. Martin Luther writes of this miracle, "But after all hope had failed, Jesus draws near and does nothing more than say, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And at once the dead man arises and lives. Here we must confess that in the eyes of the Lord, death is like life, and that it makes no difference to him whether we are dead or alive. For though we had died, for him we are not dead, because Jesus can overcome death and restore life by a single word. Therefore the Lord truly says, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and other saints are dead for us, yet they live to God." Luther continues, "And so, from the gospel reading today, and from the son of the widow, we should learn the great power which God, through Christ, will apply to us at the last day, when by a word he will recall to life all people and give everlasting salvation to all believers. This will be done in the twinkling of an eye, in order that we may not doubt in the least either the power of the Lord Jesus to do this, for he will gladly do it. For here we have the example. The son of the widow is dead. He has lost the gift of hearing in all other senses. But when Christ speaks to him, he hears. This is certainly a strange and wonderful incident. He that does not hear, hears, and he that does not live, lives. Nothing is done but that Christ opens his mouth and invites him to arise. This single word is so powerful that death has to vanish and life has to return. Arise, Jesus says. With that single word, Jesus gives to that man and to us life, healing, forgiveness, cleansing, the power of the resurrection, all in a word and touch of the Lord. So you see, the closer this procession of life came to this woman and to her chaos, the crazier it all looked. But the crazy had to get even closer, so that this woman could hear the word of the Lord with her ear. The word of life, the word of Jesus for this dying and fallen world. Do you hear it? After all, is the same word of life and hope, healing, forgiveness, salvation, and resurrection that is all yours. It is in these times of chaos and uncertainty that God is at work in you. When things are the darkest, when insanity and uncertainty seem to rule, so that you can't seem to take anything in anymore, that is the time to quiet your mouth and to open your ears. For God is coming to you humbly, lowly, and gently in the very powerful word of his forgiveness. He says to you, "I have taken your place on the cross, and I have fully exchanged my life for you. I am bodily risen from the dead for you on the third day. Be still and know that I am God." You are joined to my death and resurrection right there in the waters of your baptism. And take, eat, take, drink. I forgive you all of your sin. You see, it is not only for this woman's sake, but it is for our sakes that Jesus has done this miracle. He certainly knows that we are afraid of death. To that he says, "Do not be afraid, and do not let your hearts be troubled. Though death is terrible, what can it harm you? It may terrify you indeed, but learn to avoid judging by your feelings and following your fears. Instead, look to me and remember all that I have done for you and can do for you. I can raise you from the dead as easily as a person is awakened from their sleep. And I am going to do it for you cheerfully and with pleasure." Dear friends in Christ Jesus, as we have heard from the text, Jesus gave the dead son, now living, back to his mother. God restores what is broken, binds up what is wounded, and he gives health, healing, and hope to each and every one of us. For you see, you and I are all widows along the way. We are all lost without the gentle touch and word of the Lord. But in him and through him, you and I are now restored to a right relationship with him, where life and healing and hope are all wrapped up together with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. For you see, even right now, you and I are in a procession. It is the procession from death to life. And as his baptized, we are on this heavenly journey together. So right now, because of Christ Jesus, you and I are at peace. For Christ our Lord has touched our graves in the waters of our baptism, and he has made us whole. He has forgiven us, and he has told us, come and live. Come and be comforted. Your sins are forgiven. I have clothed myself on you in those waters. Your death is defeated. Your grave will be overcome on the last day. Come, eat and drink of my true body and blood given and shed for you. For in that meal I live in you, and where I live, you too shall live forever as well. From this strife I give to you joy and life immortal. Amen. And now the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus.